Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus' parable about the wheat and the tares is a very interesting parable. And the disciples have to ask Jesus what it means. So you've got this field, and Jesus explains that the field is the world, right? The field is the world. And then he sows these seeds, and then somebody comes in while everyone's sleeping and throws these weeds in there. Sows the seeds of these weeds. And they look the same. They look the same until everything's all grown up. And the servants of this master, they want to pull everything out. Let's get the weeds out of there. And the master says, hold on, if you do that, you're going to uproot the other stuff too early. So let them grow together. Okay, so we've heard this. We know. Okay, Pastor. All right. So I want to answer a question today. And the question is this. What does this parable have to do with us? So I want to look at some different answers. You know, now with internet, more than ever, we've got so much information in front of us. So much. And you crack open a newspaper and you think, this went wrong, and this went wrong, and this went wrong. You read the news or you watch it on TV and there's some tragedy going on. Something terrible, something horrible. We know this, right? And then you get to the U.S. and they want to take out things like, In God We Trust, off the money, or One Nation Under God. So this country wants to remove God out of the equation in a lot of ways. And you say, God, what's going on around here? We used to have morals, and we used to have standards, and we used to have all these kinds of things, and now they're not here anymore. And it seems like more and more the wrong people are being put in charge. And the wrong people are making up the majority. And you think about, how is it then? What should I do? I mean, maybe I get out of California because it's getting a little too liberal. The nanny state, right? Maybe I'll move to Colorado or Arizona. That's what it is. Arizona's the one, right? Or Texas. Ask any Texan, they'll tell you to move there, right? Get out of the state. Just get out of here. Or maybe we all pitch in some money and we buy an island off South Pacific or something like that. And we'll create this Christian enclave where we'll only have Christians there. None of those crazy bad people. Only nice, sweet Christians. Because Christians aren't mean at all. Right? But this is what the parable is saying. Don't do that, right? Do not rip up the weeds with the wheat together. Leave them be. Part of us might look at the state of the church and say, the church is dying. Wasn't that in the, not New York Times, what's that famous magazine? Not Newsweek, something like that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, anywhere, really. The church is dying. People aren't going to church as much anymore. So how are we going to get them in? What are we going to do to get these people to stay? Because the weeds are growing up and they're really overcrowding all of this wheat. So what do we got to do? Well, we got to vamp it up a bit, right? We got to turn it up a notch. Got to go to 11. Because what are we afraid of? We're like these servants and saying, Lord, there's all this stuff out there. We need to fix it. We got to fix this situation. So this is another answer to the question of what do we do with this parable? Well, we look at it and say, no, we don't have to fix the situation. Now, does that mean that, you know, we, because the Bible's written in Greek, so we only read Greek in church or whatever. No, I mean, we use English. We communicate. But we don't take what we have been handed from generations of Christians. It's been preserved and even died for in some places. We don't take it and throw it out the window and say it doesn't matter because it's not doing enough. We don't go there. We've received this liturgy from the saints who have gone before us. And I know some of you guys have heard me say this, guys and girls. Some of you have heard me say this, but that liturgy, when we say what we say in the church service, we are saying it with all of the field, all of the wheat of God's people. We're standing shoulder to shoulder with the saints who have gone before us for almost 2,000 years. And when we pass this on to our kids, we're standing shoulder to shoulder to our great, 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 great grandchildren in the Lord. So the service is way bigger than us. So, okay, what's the next question? Or what's the next answer? What is this parable doing? Some might answer, it doesn't matter what you do. Right? Here's the plan. Here's the weed. Here's the weeds. And God's going to pick who's one and who's the other. So you got kind of a fatalism, right? It doesn't matter what you do. Because God's going to do whatever He wants to anyways. So it doesn't matter if I'm a good person or if I'm a bad person. In the end, maybe right before I die, I'll have a conversion moment if that's what God wants. Because who cares? I mean, there's the wheat, there's the weeds, and God's going to take care of it. Let God sort them out, right? Let God sort them out. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. Okay, so let's consider then what's going on in this parable. What we are seeing, what Jesus is teaching to His disciples, is that the kingdom of God works in hidden ways, in ways that we can't always understand and we can't see. But as we heard from our reading from Romans, you don't hope for what you see. We hope for what we do not yet have, and we wait for it patiently. As Jesus is going through the world and teaching, He's teaching about a kingdom that you can't see and a kingdom that doesn't make sense. It's a reign of God. So Hitler might run the country one way, I guess maybe it's a little extreme. Vladimir Putin might run it another way, or Barack Obama might run it another way. But they're not going to run it the way that God sees it, because they're working according to the standards of this world. The kingdom of God works in hidden ways. Ways we can't see. And our sinful nature, when we see all these weeds start to grow up around us, we get afraid. We want to tear them out. Or we want to lock ourselves away so that we don't have to see it, like an ostrich with our head in the sand. But you can't do either one. Sometimes you just have to live with it. It doesn't mean we can't pray for help. In fact, that's exactly what we should be doing. And through that prayer and these words leaving your mouth, they're going to an almighty and all-powerful God. And when we reach those points of doubt and despair and frustration and thinking, where is God in my life? We go to His hidden means. We go to baptism, where God's promise has tied us to the entire family of God. We go to the moment in the church service where you heard the pastor say, "I forgive you all your sins." Because that means they're gone. When we go to the rail and we taste the bread and the wine, we are tasting all of eternity. This is a God who works with hidden ways. Things that don't make sense to this world, because they all come from a king who walked around, had no place to call his own, no palace to live in, no servants to serve him. Instead, he serves his disciples. He washes their feet. The same night that he is captured, betrayed, and that morning he is crucified. And what kind of crown did he have? One of thorns. These weeds and these thorns of this world want to choke us out. But they will not win. They cannot win because God has declared it. He has declared you guiltless, free, and forgiven. And there's nothing that can take that away from you. That's God's promise. And it doesn't make sense to this world. People that we try to explain this to, they can't comprehend it. In our reading from Romans chapter 8, because we're going to be living in this world with the weeds at the same time. And it's going to be hard and it's going to be frustrating. And so often we are going to fall short. But this is what God promises here. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So here, you are made saints this morning because of Jesus Christ. And that's a mystery in and of itself. And then you have this promise that for the saints, the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit is praying for you. For you. So we have a struggle in this life, and Jesus never promised that it's going to be easy. And we may not be able to measure our progress either in church or in our own spiritual lives based on what we see. But we measure what we have based on God's word, on His promises. His promise is that you are forgiven and that the Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf. And there will come an end to all of this. This is not the way it's always going to be. But until then, we stand firm in hope and in faith in God's promises. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise.